Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from the State Capitol Building in Pierre. And now we have with us Representative Kevin Killer from Pine Ridge. Welcome, sir.
Yes, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And Representative Sean Bordeaux from Mission, correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Welcome as well. So this, at 1:30 today, not too far from now, we have Chairman Harold Frazier is going to give a State of the Tribes address to the legislature. I was listening to the governor's speech. He mentioned Native issues, I think, five times. He brought things back to. So it's kind of a topic that is on everybody's what they're saying right now. So let's start with you, and let's just start with education. How does this education bill affect education in your communities?
Well, last year I brought a bill related to tribal colleges. I work at Sita Galeska University on the Rosebud, and we have about 20% of our students that are non-native. A lot of the folks are from maybe Millette County, Winter, Tripp County area, and maybe they put in a few years at USD but came up short, or somebody got sick or something. So it's really convenient for them to go to Sita Galeska University. However, the bills are paid predominantly by the Native students. So we get funding based on the number of full-time Native American students. And so what my bill did last year was ask the state, like Montana and North Dakota do, the state kicks in some money to help with the overhead costs and the costs to keep the library open. And they pay tuition and fees, but it's also one of the lowest rates in the nation at about $100 a credit hour. So very inexpensive education, and we have a couple of master's degrees. So we're at the level where we're offering, you know, a lot of the local teachers, maybe they're Teach for America, they come out here from somewhere else, and next thing you know, they're taking classes and enjoying our university and, you know, really getting a good sound education while they're putting in their time teaching our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, that bill would benefit a lot of colleges in the state of South Dakota, especially the tribal colleges, and that would benefit our college, Oglala College, down there. And, you know, I just think it's unique and really interesting to have more Native legislators here. And because, you know, we come with different ideas, but to have that Native perspective, Native experience that is really unique to our communities, but also unique to a lot of legislators out here, because there's some legislators who've never been to reservation. And so it's just, you know, being able to expose them to that, but also, you know, overcoming you know, perceptions and of how communities are, you know, what they think the community is versus our experience, and especially around education, because half our population on reservations are trending younger. And I think in 2020, it's estimated that half our population in Pine Ridge is going to be under the age of 18. So it's really unique and really good. So,
how many Native legislators do we have?
Currently, I think we have four. Representative Bordeaux, myself, Representative Killer, and Senator Bradford, and I believe Senator Heinert. So.
And what are the challenges of recruiting more Natives to run for office?
I would say it's getting them familiar with the process and understanding, you know, their role in state government. And just, you know, hearkening back to the conversation we had yesterday, you know, understanding that, you know, we have a unique citizenship in that we not only vote on the federal level, state level, tribal level, but also county and local government and school board. So just having that perspective and those ideas and all that kind of just those thoughts is really in those avenues to have our voices heard. Is a good time to make sure that we participate in government. So I think it's just getting people to understand that, but also, you know, walking them through the process of this is why you take a petition out, this is how you, you know, this is the issues that state government deals with versus tribal versus local versus all that kind of stuff. So I think that just kind of helping them demystify that process.
Representative Bordeaux, do you have to go from what you accomplish or learn here at state government and then communicate with tribal government as well? How does that work?
Well, it's a little bit challenging because oftentimes our folks at home on the reservation are a little disengaged with the state process. When I was getting my petitions, my signatures, I was standing outside one of the local grocery stores, and I had a lot of folks who remember me from when I served as a tribal councilman. They would come up, and they thought I had a petition for a tribal resolution or something, and they were ready to sign or engage in some way. And then when I say it's a state thing, then they're like, oh, I'm not even registered to vote. And they would walk away, and I'd be disheartened because I think, how many folks don't realize that the state has a lot of resources right here for them in our own backyard, and all they have to do is engage. And so I'm learning that a lot of doors are open here. I thought there'd be a lot of doors that were closing in front of me, and this quirky tribal native thing, and you know, maybe the state wouldn't buy into what I was trying to do or my ideology or the way that we live as natives. But everywhere I turn, people are receptive and saying, we need more natives. We need more folks coming up here and engaging. We need a lot more people participating in the process. So it's been educating people and getting them to understand how the two interface. As a former tribal councilman, I've served, and I know what the process is there on the reservation and how our governments differ. I also still serve as a tax commissioner. I'm on our treaty council, and I'm also on our land corporation, and I just recently finished serving 7 years on our economic development board. So I'm fully vested in a lot of the work I do here. Also, I go back to the tribes and say, here's some other resources that we can go after in the state. And I think that the two are learning more about how to interface the state and the tribal governments. And I think with the work that Representative Killer and Senator Bradford and Heinert have done, it's really paved the way, so a lot more folks are coming on board and coming to see what resources are available here in the state.
So when we talk Medicaid expansion, we keep hearing about IHS, and I'm wondering if either of you want to weigh in on Medicaid expansion and what that means to your communities.
Well, myself, my children, I have a big family. I have 9 children, and 8 of my children are little and living at home, and they all are eligible for the Medicaid. And oftentimes when we go to IHS, it's a 4 to 6 hour wait. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our provider is Mission Medical. And so it's just a difficult process oftentimes with IHS, just because they've kind of had some issues with, there's so many people with so many needs that, you know, they're just maxed out on what they are able to do with what limited resources they have. So oftentimes many of our community members already go to the local providers who aren't IHS. So I think this is a great opportunity for South Dakota. It's a great opportunity to get the most resources we can for the state and still be able to serve the tribal folks. I heard Senator Sutton say it was a treaty right. And, you know, our people fully believe in the treaty, and the Treaty of 1868, you know, we gave millions of acres away. So to this day, it's been often handed down from generation to generation, this expectation that, you know, we have to take care of the land, but also the federal government owes us education and our health care as well. So those are expectations that come with people believing the treaty is still valid, just like the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah. And, you know, just thinking about, you know, how it would have benefited my family is, you know, I recently lost my mom last year, or I'm sorry, in 2014, you know, and, you know, right before the election day and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, she had, you know, onset diabetes and as a result from complications of a stroke. But just, you know, but she, you know, she was a small business owner. She owned her own business. She worked from the age of 14. All the way until she was, you know, almost like 53, and then, you know, she had her stroke, and, you know, and just going through the complications of depending on IHS when you're in those kind of critical situations, and there, you know, she had to wait for about, you know, she had the stroke, then 3 days later, they were trying to remove her from the hospital for non-payment, and I think, and because it was the fact of that there wasn't enough money there, and because of the you know, the mercy rule and all that kind of stuff that took effect for the hospital, you know, she was able to stay there. But just, you know, I think just going through that experience and watching her, you know, kind of struggle through that and just seeing, you know, she could have got better care. And if this was in place, you know, she was perfectly eligible, you know, because she worked her whole life to get benefits. And she was looking forward to testifying on this bill and seeing the positive outcomes of what the ACA and expansion and all that kind of stuff could have done for her, but also people in her situations. And so I think that's where I'm coming from this, and just understanding, you know, that a lot of other people could benefit from that, that are in this situation, similar situations, you know, whether they're native or non-native. And really, you know, it shouldn't come down to the fact that you can't afford healthcare, but the fact that, you know, we pay into a system, whether you're poor or rich, and understanding that we all pay taxes, because there's no state income tax in South Dakota. So the fallacy of that argument is kind of moot. You know, we all pay sales tax, and we all pay some kind of property tax in some way or some form. And as Representative Bordeaux alluded to, you know, some of that was negotiating our treaties, and those treaties haven't been upheld to the fullest degree. So,
are you enthusiastic or skeptical at this point that Medicaid expansion will happen and that there will be actual changes to the kind of health care you can receive?
I'm enthusiastic. I think this is a great thing, and to hear Speaker Wink and Senator Sutton talk about, you know, the good things that are coming, and they're still kind of holding back until they get a signature, but I think that signature will come, and I think it'll be a better day for South Dakota once that happens.
We mentioned natives engaging in the state government process. How about non-native South Dakotans? What do they need to know about our native South Dakotans to, you know, look forward in the legislative session?
I think, you know, this, you know, going back to that fact that our communities are getting younger, so the needs are going to shift to that younger population, younger age demographic, especially in, you know, Pine Ridge, but it happens in waves, you know, in Rosebud and Shine River, the epidemic of suicide, you know, that then that affects all of our communities, regardless of if you live in a non-native or native community. But just seeing the needs of our young people, but also some of the thriving and emerging communities that are coming out, especially around arts. And recently there was a study done by First Peoples Fund in Rapid City with the help with Northwest Area Foundation. They found out that 80% of our community members in Pine Ridge participate in some kind of form of art or art, you know, in the artistic community. And the only other place like that is probably Hollywood. So that's, and I'm sure the similar numbers are in Representative Bordeaux's community. But just understanding the fact that there's a lot of potential to invest and a lot of good things happening on our reservations because of the partnership of state government, of the federal government, and just our own communities becoming, you know, learning more about what's available to us. I think there's a lot of opportunities.
I would say I sit on our land corporation, and we lease a lot of land to local farmers and ranchers who are on our reservation or around the reservation. We have about 1 million acres on the Rosebud in 5 counties. Pine Ridge has about 1.5 million acres, and Cheyenne River has about 2 million acres. I think we would make a great agricultural partner. I think we would make outstanding tourism partners. I mean, just listening to the stories that our people tell about whether it's their own grandparents or their own relationships with their tribe, or whether it's watching a powwow or some of our cultural events, I think there's a lot of relationships that need to be culled or that need to be brought together between the state and have local folks working with tribes. I think some of the folks are a little bit hesitant to work with the native communities, and we're out there waiting, and we want to grow our regions. I see South Central South Dakota as my region. I see the 5-county area, even though we no longer have the reservation boundaries surrounding the 5 counties, we still have a lot of lands, and whether those are over by Gregory or Bone Still or Burke or White River, I still see those as our homelands, and we need partnerships. We can't do it all from living in Mission and Rosebud is where a lot of our population live, and our lands are scattered. So if we had some partnerships with folks, I think we can really do a lot of good economic development and bring a lot of economic activity to our regions.
Sure. And just going back to what Representative Killer said, I listened to a lot of speeches, talked to a lot of people this week, took a lot of questions from listeners on Facebook. A lot of citizens were saying, what about the arts? Nobody's mentioned the arts yet. And you're the first person who sat down and intentionally said, you know, the arts is something we need to pay attention to. So that goes out to all those listeners who said, what about the arts? Representative Kevin Killer brought it up on Dakota Midday.
Can I put a plug in?
Yes.
Sinte Galeshka University, where I work, we actually, for the last 10 years, have put on the Northern Plains Indian Art Market in Sioux Falls. And it's very expensive for us to do this on our, you know, soft dollars that we have. So we're doing our best to try to bring you know, our culture to places in South Dakota where we think the art people are there and the artists are saying, keep doing this. And we think that it's a great partnership that should be expanded to other areas of South Dakota.
Our South Dakota Hollywood.
Yeah. And, you know, just thinking about the Reverend, this came out. That's a South Dakota story. And, you know, that's a good point. So.
Absolutely. We've been listening to Representative Kevin Killer from Pine Ridge and Representative Sean Bordeaux from Mission. Thank you both for joining us today so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We will talk to them again sometime. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Chief Justice David Gilbertson is here to talk to us. You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting.